Hi there. The 67th annual San Francisco International Film Festival is coming up, and in this bonus episode, I speak with SF Film's executive director, Anne Lai. We'll hear how Anne came to the city and SF Film, a little of the history of SF Film, and highlights from this year's festival, which runs from April 24th through the 28th. Here's Anne.
Everything in my life has led me to being here in San Francisco, so I love it. I was born and raised in Ohio, Midwest, because it's where my parents sort of ended up getting work and a job. They are first generation to have moved to the US. I was first born generation. So I grew up in a very sort of suburban place that was actually really kind of wonderful and incredibly grounding, but I had a lot of exposure to my family roots in Taiwan and China, all of those kinds of things. And so like a very typical first generation life growing up, mixing lots of different things up. And when I went to school, I started off going to the University of Michigan and thinking I was going to study engineering, like a model student. And then I got to differential equations. I'm like, oh, I think I have to be, I'm out. Like, oh, I think this is tough. And it just wasn't like, it wasn't sort of resonating for me. And I was, you know, casting about looking for things. I had studied music my entire childhood. And then I discovered they had a film program. And who knew? It was not something I had grown up around, but had always appreciated film. And so when I decided this is something I could study, and my parents were incredibly supportive, I made a move out to California, because in my head, I think they make movies in California. That's how much I know. Moved to LA, went to USC and did the production program there, which was really helpful. Just like, oh, I think I've kind of found my people. I found people who were nerdy about film and excited about it. And maybe this will help me figure out how to do it. Started working in film. And when an internship turned into my first job, turned into the first 12 years of my career, it was kind of amazing. It was one of those things that doesn't happen very often, which is an internship led to a job that led to a career. And so I was incredibly lucky. And that first job, I started off as an assistant to a director named Ridley Scott. And I was part of his company, Ridley Scott and Tony Scott. They were brothers and very prominent British American filmmakers. And so that was a way of just jumping in and being completely immersed in that work. And then eventually I shifted over. I was sort of ready to try something different. And there was an opportunity to work at Sundance Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that was started by Robert Redford back in 1981. And I went there to start a program focusing on producers and trying to work with bringing up a new generation of producers, particularly in indie film. And it was amazing. So it was a compliment to all the work that I was able to do in the studio world and sort of the regular studio world and shifting over into more of an indie world. And that's how I learned about SF Film. While I was at Sundance, I worked with a lot of filmmakers, and I met a woman named Michelle Turner-Saleo, who was running a program here at SF Film. And she invited me to come up and visit the film house, which is a residency that we have in our space for working filmmakers. And lo and behold, years later, I moved here. I was trying to figure out, like, how could I move to the Bay Area? I have family who's here.
Okay.
I have a sister who was here, and I'm like, I love it up there. What would I do? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that they were looking for an executive director for SF Film. And so I moved here to San Francisco and joined the organization as executive director in March of 2020. Which was an amazing time.
What a time to come on. Wow. I'm glad you said it. I just want to hear real quickly. I like to, with all my guests, hear first impressions of San Francisco. Not when you moved here, but maybe the first time you visited. What did you think of this place?
I think we had come quite a bit. My parents were really good about traveling, and we had friends here. So my mother, when she first moved to the US, she had gone to college and she did graduate work at Berkeley in the 60s.
Okay.
So she was here at an early 60s, like very seminal time. And that was a brief period of time she was living in California. So my parents had friends who were in California and also in the Bay Area. I remember coming out as a kid, and the two things I really remember was Well, we would always go to Chinatown because you could get so much better food than where we can get them in Ohio, as but particularly at the time. So really good food. I remember it being very bright. I couldn't think of another word, like colorful and vibrant and just felt different. Like every city has a different feel. And if you were living in the suburbs, any city was a different feel. Didn't feel like New York, didn't feel like Taipei, didn't feel like, Chicago. Smelled different, felt different. And it was just intriguing. The other thing that I remember as I got older, and I think probably I came in my teens, was I noticed how many Asians I would see around. And that was not an experience I had growing up in Ohio. It wasn't even an experience you would never necessarily have in LA unless you were in a specific part of town. But what was interesting for me as I got older and noticed in San Francisco was like, it didn't matter what part of town you were in, the mix of different cultures and backgrounds, and it was all concentrated and it was really kind of cool. So those were my impressions. And then, of course, it's beautiful here. Like, you
It's
cannot,
not too shabby, huh?
oh, you cannot find, honestly, like, I think one of the more beautiful spots in the world. And so that was also a big attraction for me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes just hearing people say it gives me chills. It's so true, and it resonates, I think, with everyone. Well, so your timeline of your story, you've got us to your coming on at SF Film. Let's hear a little bit about the history of the organization and the festival. I know they go kind of hand in hand, but to give our listeners an idea of the whole thing.
The inception. So it was, the organization started as the film festival, started as the San Francisco International Film Festival. It was the brainchild of Irving Bud Levin, who had been in a family of theater owners. And he, over time, was really sort of thinking about, there are these other festivals that exist, Cannes, Venice, et cetera. We could certainly be able to do it. And there was a way of kind of being sanctioned as an official film festival. So I think it was quite a bold and entrepreneurial idea of like, how do we bring particularly international films here? Because we have a very sophisticated audience and people who live here and a lot of curiosity, a sophisticated palate. Why aren't we doing this? So 1957, he launched the film festival and had a pretty amazing lineup of filmmakers. I think that included Akira Kurosawa, among others. And so over time, the festival grew both in, I think, visibility and prominence. And at the time, there were also just fewer film festivals. So San Francisco International Film Festival is actually the oldest and longest running film festival in North and South America, which I didn't know until I came here.
I didn't know until just now when you told me that. I'm sure I've heard
Still
it. It just didn't
standing.
stick. It's really sticking
What,
now.
but it's it, but
That's
it's a
remarkable.
really it's a, it's an interesting thing, right? Like, there's this legacy of how did it start? How did it grow over time? And then in the last 30 and 15 years, the organization really grew to become a year-round organization. So rather than just focusing on the festival, which is a really big effort anyway, there was other work that was happening over time. About 33 years ago, there was this recognition during the festival, like, well, wait a second, we have films that we play that would work really well to bring up a new generation of audiences. How would that work? So we created a program called Schools at the Festival, which is still running today, and it runs parallel to our festival. And it brings thousands of students and teachers into theaters for field trips, if we remember those from our childhood, where you're screening something that will be resonant for that particular age group. And also be in conversation with that filmmaker or some kind of talent that's tied to it, which is very cool. It creates a different way of how you take in work. And then over the last 15 years or so, there's been an artist development program, and that really came from a place of trying to find a way to support a filmmaker or an artist at an earlier stage of their work. And so what is nice about how the organization has evolved, it was known for many years as the San Francisco Film Society. And then in about, I think, 2015, went through a rebranding, feeling that that might be a little bit too elitist or feeling a little bit old-fashioned, moving to the SF Film brand. But it is the same organization, and it has these three pillars: the exhibition, which is the festival, among other things, education, and artist development. And so throughout the year, there is this idea that at any given point of a filmmaker's career, maybe very early on as a kid in camp that we put together, or as a veteran filmmaker who's presenting their latest work at our festival, there's these different touch points where you can be supported by or presented by the organization. And there's something very holistic and exciting about it, which was the thing that attracted me to come here.
For sure. I mean, as you're telling me about the pillars, I'm also wondering, are there any artists who have ended up in the festival who went through the training and then went through the education, or sorry, the development, and then like, has that happened yet? Or is it too early with those programs? Or
it has happened.
Excellent.
You lead me directly into the current film festival.
So boom, there we are. Our third,
great timing, Jeff.
Third topic.
So our opening night film is a film called Dee Dee, which is Mandarin for Younger Brother. And it is a film from a first-time feature filmmaker named Sean Wong. Sean was supported through our program in a couple of different ways. One, which was he was supported through our artist development program through a series of grants, as well as a program called Invest that was trying to help him get that first feature going. So early, is there a network we can help do for him? Is there some direct artist cash grant that can be supportive to him? We were able to make some introductions to people who eventually became producers and executive producers on his film, et cetera, et cetera. We also had his previous two short films be part of either our festival or Doc Story. So there's been this nice history. And Sean also happens to be Bay Area born and raised. He was born and raised in Fremont. The film, the feature film Dee Dee, was filmed there. So there's this wonderful resonance. But we also have other filmmakers that we've supported early on. Some are Bay Area based, some are not. Ryan Kugler is a good example of another filmmaker. He made his first feature, Fruitvale Station, through the support of ESSA Film. And clearly, you know, is very devoted to being an Oakland based filmmaker, is still there creating a lot of work on a much bigger scale, a much, much bigger
heard
level.
Heard of him.
For sure. And so, but excellent. We do a lot of support of filmmakers internationally as well. So we are incredibly proud of anyone who is Bay Area based, but we also will bring in and support filmmakers from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, which is excellent. Really great.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's hear a little bit more about this year's festival. Did you say Dee Dee is opening night? Is that the kind of...
Yes, sir. Opening night film is Dee Dee.
Opening night film, okay.
We are now 67 years old, 67 years young is what I will say. So this is our 67th year. We'll take place from April 24th to 28th. So it's a fairly compressed period of time for us. We will have Dee Dee as an opening night film, which I told you a little bit about. This is something that is very, I think, anticipated as a first feature. He won an audience award at Sundance with the film. We're excited. A hometown screening is always wonderful. That one has been very popular as soon as we announced it and started putting the tickets on sale. We also have a closing night film from a filmmaker who is making some work that's also a little bit personally resonant. It's a filmmaker named Josh Margolin, and the film is called Thelma. It stars June Squibb, who I believe is 93, and it is her first starring role.
Amazing.
If you don't recognize her name, you would recognize her face. She's been an actress forever and is really wonderful. And it is a film that is centered around her being scammed out of some money and deciding, very rightfully so, that that is no fun. And she sets across the landscape of LA on a wheelchair scooter.
In a
very slow moving chase to basically find the perpetrators. And it's very about family. It's about aging. It's about generational. One of the characters I think that was inspired by Josh Margolin is the grandson who helps her with email and helps her deal with all sorts of stuff, but also is particularly worried about her because he understands as she gets older, he wants to care for her. So it has wonderful humor. And also I think the real grounding of what it's like to deal with intergenerational family in the most wonderful way. So that's how we're going to close. So we'll open with a coming of age story, and we will close with someone who is more seasoned, but very determined to take some control back over her life.
Sounds wonderful. And then in between, I did see, I haven't had a chance to like really dig into an email I got, but not a series necessarily, but a grouping of films from Bay Area filmmakers. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
Absolutely. And I'm also being corrected that June Squibb is 94. I do not want to steal a year.
Oh, we missed maybe we missed June's birthday. Happy birthday, June.
And she is planning to be on the ground with us for that screening, which is wonderful. But Excellent. Yes, definitely Bay Area. So we have a few things that will be happening. We have another film that is from a Bay Area East Bay filmmaker. And the film is called Seeking Mavis Beacon. Mm. It is set in a documentary category, but actually I think it's almost meta and almost sort of exists in its own, on its own plane. The film is resonates around this program that taught you how to type in high school. And Mavis Beacon was always photographed as a slightly different person. And Jasmine, the filmmaker, has basically said, like, let's go find her. She was very influential. And it sort of becomes this really interesting sort of dig into who was Mavis Beacon, how was she able to have all this influence? And it's incredibly fresh and something exciting. And
I happen to have seen that one because my wife was at Sundance. And that's a really fascinating. I don't remember Mavis Beacon typing programs from when I was a kid, but I it was just fascinating also to see like these kind of mysterious companies that made the software.
Yeah, and had all this influence.
Yeah, yeah. And I did know that there was a Bay Area connection, but thank you for walking us through that and explaining, like grounding it. Cool.
And there's a few other ones that we call out on the website. So if anyone has a chance to go take a look there, I think some of that work in particular just resonates. You know, it's always fun to see something that's shot locally, but it's also fun to see something that you're supporting someone who's growing up and creating work here in the Bay Area. I'm not thinking about them as films themselves, but they are certainly artists that I think are icons and that are based in the Bay Area. We're doing an award it's called the Mel Novikoff Award, and it's for Gary Meyer, who is based here in the Bay Area. He is known for establishing the Landmark Theaters and is just a figure in this town, and is really, really wonderful. We're also doing a tribute to the actor, writer, and producer Joan Chen. Mm-hmm. Joan is known for her acting roles, certainly in China, but after she came and started doing more American work, Ang Lee's Lost Caution, Bernardo Bertolucci's The Last Emperor, Twin Peaks, because really no one cannot know about Twin Peaks, which is just stunning and amazing. But she also has directed films. And so we will give a tribute to her. And she's been based in the Bay Area for many, many years. So that feels like a nice way to be able to honor her. And so we hope people will come out and celebrate both of them here as well.
Well, I think we keep walking each other into final segments. Let's wrap with, in addition to your website, other ways that people can get in touch and learn more and buy tickets. I guess the overarching term is call to action. What do you want listeners to do?
Absolutely. Well, definitely go to the website, sffilm.org. There's a wonderful trailer that's available there that you can see teeny pieces of almost every single film of the 47 programs that are happening at the festival, and browsing through that and having and getting a sense of it. My favorite thing to be able to do is to encourage people. There are the things that you know that you like because of the type of story it is, or it has an actor that you're interested in. We have a wonderful film called Sing Sing that has Coleman Domingo. People are fans of his. So those are wonderful. My call to everyone is take a little bit of a risk on a second film or on a third film. Make a day of it. And trying something that may not be you're not sure of, but there's something interesting in there. It's maybe not the typical thing that you watch. Try it and see if you like it or not. I do think that one of the things that we can always do as a festival is develop a relationship with our audience and trust us a little bit. Like, we're going to try to give you something that might just stretch you a little bit while also still be fun and sort of entertaining you. But the website is the best place to go and find information. And we hope to see you there.
I lied. I actually want to end with, because I do feel like it's an important thing, not only to the festival, but to life in San Francisco. Can you tell us all the theaters that are involved this
Yes,
year?
Absolutely. Please. So we are in a little bit more of a concentrated footprint. It's a little bit different for us. So we will be up in the Marina and Presidio neighborhoods. We will be based out of the Presidio, excuse me, the Marina Theater on Chestnut, which is owned by the Lee family. We will also be out of the Premier Theater. And this is the theater that is in the Presidio in the ILM building. So this is ILM and Lucasfilm's a screening room that they're very kindly letting us use. If you haven't ever been there before, it is a nirvana for anyone who was a Star Wars fan, because you have to walk through the lobby and see all the amazing, you know, Darth Vader's there. I mean, really, you can't get that everywhere. And it's a beautiful theater. So we are trying to center ourselves where hopefully things are within spitting distance of each other. You can grab a coffee, et cetera, et cetera. We also will have a couple of other activations, the Walt Disney Family Theater. We will be one day at the Vogue Theater. So Jeff, the one that is near you. And then we also, during the festival, have a parallel a number of screenings that happen at BAM PFA. So the archive in Berkeley, the film archive in Berkeley. And so there's a selection of films. You can also find those on our website. And then new for us this year is we are going to do an encore at the Roxy Theater, which is one of our favorites. Yes. So regular FEX Festival, April 24th to 28th. And then the encore at the Roxy will be May 2nd through 4th. And that will include programs that will be our audience winners, which we don't know yet. So the audience votes on that and we'll be able to announce it. And then six other programs that prove to be sort of the most popular. And those we can find on our website starting tomorrow. We will begin announcing what that encore program will look like.
Fun. Thank you for that shout out. List of theaters are so important. Okay, well, Anne, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I know I look forward to this year's film festival, and this will be going out just before the festival starts. So hopefully my listeners will take your advice and go peruse the schedule and push yourself. Get out of your comfort zone even just a little bit. You'll be amazed what you find.
I would love that. Expand your world a little bit. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there too. So we can't wait to see everybody.
That was Anne Lai, Executive Director of SF Film. On the next episode of Storied San Francisco, meet artist and designer Nate Tan of Nate One Design and New School Clothing and Accessories. Episode 14 drops next Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts. Music for Storied San Francisco was produced, performed, and curated by Otis McDonald. Aaron Lim of Bitch Talk Podcast is our contributing producer. And the show is produced and hosted by me, Jeff Hunt. Now in our sixth season, we have more than 200 episodes available on our website, storiedsf.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're able to, please rate and review the show. And drop us a line at storiedsf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Keep rejecting those silly doom loop narratives about our city. Stay wacky, weird, healthy, and creative. And we'll see you next time on Storied San Francisco. We acknowledge and respect the first humans of the unceded land we call San Francisco, the Ramaytush Ohlone. We condemn the genocide of these and other tribes across the Western Hemisphere. We honor their legacy and history, and we support rematriation and sovereignty efforts.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.